Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah. But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mystery.
Hey, yo, I'm Jay Clone, Razor Ramon. And Big Kev and I were in the back, and we were listening to that song play. And, you know, you go on about talking about doing things the right way. And we were just in the back, and we want to say, we don't care. Hey, yo.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That was just a very deep cut, a Scott Hall promo from WCW in probably like 1998.
Oh.
For those who know, I just felt like being Scott Hall Razor Ramon clone today because it rhymed. But yeah, welcome back. Welcome back to the Creeps of Corn podcast. We had some things at the top of the show to get out of the way really quick. We have the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree coming up October 4th, 2025 this year. We still have some tickets available, so please go to cryptscorn.com if you would like tickets. But that's just to hear the speakers and the Friday night dinner, hang out with us. But if you just want to come to the Jamboree, it is absolutely free, October 4th in Ada, Ohio. Another thing to mention, we don't mention it enough on the show, is we have a Facebook group, Crypts of the Corn Podcast, where we all, that's the biggest hub, I guess, for us to kind of interact with everybody. It's very active every single day. There's new stuff being posted. It's very entertaining. I enjoy it very much. So that's our Facebook group, Crypts of the Corn Podcast. If you would like to support us, the best way to do it is through our Patreon. We have new members each week. That's the best and easiest way to support us, to help us keep going. It does definitely keep us going, keep us motivated. Or if you just want some cool t-shirts, you can head on over to our website at cryptscorn.com and support us that way by buying some cool t-shirts. We got new art that just came out, well, as of recording this week, but we probably have new art coming out this week as well, too. So just wanted to mention that right off the top. And then other ways this you guys can check us out is on Freaky Fauna Friday in the show notes, in the description of this episode. It's our show, we pick a freak of nature animal every single Friday to teach you guys about. And also we produce the show, DW Conspiracy Shack, that comes out on Thursdays. It's also in the show notes for Daniel and Wilbur over there at that show. Those guys are great. And then last but not least, Flavors of the Forest. Let me say that again. Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot Breath, the sponsor of the show. If you guys head over to flavorsforest.com/corn, you can get your hands on the Bigfoot Breath garlic seasoning. It's garlic dust. It's garlic powder you can put on anything. It's pure garlic. It's freeze-dried garlic. It's the best garlic product I've ever had. I put on all my food. I put on everything. We love this. We love the product, and we love the people behind it. They're awesome. And it's just, fantastic and it's healthy. It's good for you. It's worth it. It's worth it. And it makes a great stocking stuffer with Christmas coming up. I know I'm getting some for Christmas presents this year because guess what? I know everyone that gets it's going to be happy. So flavorsforce.com/corn.
I don't believe in Christmas presents.
No, you know what?
My presence is the present.
Well, I believe in Santa Claus, and to give is to receive.
Yeah, fair.
That's what Ann Deary said in the song, I Believe.
Also, season finale is going to be closer to episode 60, not 50, because we're past 50, I believe.
Yeah, I think this is like episode 55 or 6.
It probably will be closer to 75 at this point. I don't know.
We're going to figure it out because
we're still open to suggestions, depending on what if we've picked anything or not by the time this comes out.
Right. It just fell in a weird time frame with fair and whatnot. Bowling mm-hmm. season starting. It's just
moving and all that.
Right. Bowling. There's a lot of things happening. Oh, yeah. Stay tuned. Stay tuned, everyone. Patreon. We'll be hearing about it in more details, but new things are coming to Cryptids of the Corn.
Sure, sure. I'll believe it when I see it.
Me too. Well, you've seen it already. Why not? Because
I haven't.
I guess you haven't yet. So
no, yeah.
You will be seeing.
Ready?
Yes, I am ready. What's our topic of discussion today?
Mystery Cetacean Station Part 2.
Electric Boogaloo?
Electric Boogaloo.
Can you have an electric Boogaloo in the water?
Yeah.
That sounds dangerous. No. Are moray, not moray eels, electric eels around? I don't know why I said moray. I just seen someone catch one on a video, like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. And then they cooked it, and it, like, they ate it. It looked weird. The meat looked weird.
I don't know if I've ever seen the moray eel meat.
I've never seen it until this. And I was like, huh, I don't want that.
They don't look like an appetizing animal.
No, they look like those things at the Mario 64 at the bottom underwater that come out.
It is a moray eel.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they look scary.
So, I got some whale and ocean updates. So this is just kind of a hodgepodge episode of whale and ocean strangeness.
Ooh, high strangeness in the sea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about our long-term friend, the 52 hertz whale.
Oh, it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
And it's been a while since I have heard that whale again.
In 1989, scientists heard a very unusual whale call, unlike anything they'd heard before or since. So this is, like I said, a few recent viral, you know, videos have been going around claiming the 52 hertz whale has sometimes been billed as the world's loneliest whale and has finally found a friend.
Mm.
We're going to talk about whether that's true or not. It is.
Oh, spoiler.
Yeah. No, because there is. This is actually being hotly debated right now.
Okay.
Because it's weird. The 52 hertz whale was discovered in 1989. For anybody that know, we've never seen it.
It's 20 years after we went to the moon.
We've never seen this whale. We just hear it. So typically, this whale, you know, speaks at 52 hertz. And like I said, 1989, a team from Wood Hole Oceanographic Institute heard the whale's call, unlike anything they'd ever heard before, picking up on sonars in the Pacific Ocean. The whale call came from 52 hertz, far higher than any known whale species known to follow that migrational pattern. The movements, though, so we've been tracking this whale for a long time.
Mm.
It follows the same migration patterns as a blue whale.
Okay.
So whatever this creature is, and we're not even, they call it a 52 hertz whale. They've never seen it. It just talks like a whale.
Okay.
So there is a chance it's not a whale.
Ooh, just for speculation. You know how like Bigfoot will imitate calls, but mm-hmm. you know it's like
yeah.
off?
So let me read my next sentence because I think I'm going to the same place you are.
Crap.
No, it's good.
Okay.
So it does follow blue whale migrational patterns.
Mm-hmm.
But blue whales have a frequency range of 10 to 39 hertz at the most.
Oh, so it's way over.
Mm-hmm. But their dominant frequencies are the 16 to 28 hertz.
Okay.
So we've talked about hertz and decibels a lot. So decibels is volume. So great or blue whales speak at a high volume.
Mm-hmm.
But hertz is the frequency.
Oh, I thought it was a donut.
Yeah, it is. Hertz donut.
Classic.
So the Bioacoustic Research Program at Cornell University is the one that really tracks all of this stuff, bioacoustics languages.
So hertz can't hurt you, right? But decibels, well,
decibels 100% can.
Yeah.
I think hertz could hurt you too.
If oh, they can
your,
they?
Your resonant frequencies.
Oh, true. It's not like as physical as like decibels, like punching you.
Yeah.
But it's more like micro.
I think it could liquefy your insides with the right frequency.
Yeah. Okay. It's more fine-tuned.
I don't know if a whale could produce that frequency. I know a whale can produce decibels to hurt you.
Ooh. What? Do you know what breaks the, you know, when the opera singers break the wine glass with their voice? Mm-hmm.
That's frequency. That's hertz.
Okay. There you go. So it's not how loud they do it. It's just hitting that right pitch.
Yeah. It's resonant frequencies cause the structure, a stable structure to vibrate until destruction.
Gotcha. So it's unstable.
Mm-hmm. So my big theory is we've only heard one for a super long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's following a blue whale migrational pattern, but nobody's ever seen it. So there's been everything that this is like a physically deformed whale.
Okay.
So it has some kind of internal damages that's causing it to talk at much higher frequencies.
Okay.
And there is kind of some misinformation, at least when I was looking into this, it's argued heavily whether the whale can be heard by other whales or not. It seems yes, the 52 hertz whale can be heard by other whales. It's just higher than they normally talk.
Okay.
So whether they could understand it or not is a whole different other question.
Maybe they just think he's just kind of weird, so they avoid him.
So one of my thoughts, reading and looking into this, is what if this is a massive blue whale predator?
Oh.
Specifically, it'd be targeting calves. Whatever this animal is rare, obviously, and it's following the migrational patterns of blue whales.
Okay.
So it's been very, very rare on our planet that any animal can evolve out of an ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Even giant sauropods, they still, what?
Oh, you just remind me of a line from Star Wars Episode 1.
There's always a bigger fish.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good job. I don't remember you got me there. The names of the
creatures. It's a clawfish is the one that's chasing the vessel. And then I can't remember, it's a sea dragon, but there's something sea dragon.
Something snatches it up.
So this, yeah. So is this a blue whale predator that's following around blue whale migrational patterns?
Hmm.
So blue whales themselves being supersized filter feeders, big among giants. They're giant among giants.
Right.
So what if they had a specialized predator? They would not be very high in numbers. We talk about with food chains, trophic levels, the higher up in trophic levels, so the higher up a food chain you go, the lower the animals there are.
Yep.
So if you're eating the largest of the large, even their offspring, you know, are coming out at thousands of pounds.
Right.
You know, you'd be very rare. So the sound source has only been a call structure in the entire listening area. The Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute wrote in a report about the whale's call data in 2000. We have been tracking the whale regularly since 1992 and have not identified the whale species.
Okay.
So they've never seen it. They've never identified it. This creature is still unknown.
Okay.
So the two major theories, though, for normal, I guess, cetacean scientists,
okay,
are it's a hybrid. Blue whales and fin whales regularly hybridize. To me, that makes no sense.
Why is that?
Because the hybrids still talk to others of both the parent species.
What if this particular hybrid, though, isn't a typical one that normally crossbreeds? And so it came with problems.
That would be harder.
Okay.
Not impossible.
Yeah.
Because it's a blue whale hybrid, mm-hmm, most likely, because of those migrational patterns. So their cousins are the next biggest whales that they can actually crossbreed with.
Oh, so there's all pretty much limited options what they could actually...
Yes, okay, just due to size differences.
Well, what if it's like a giant beaked whale we don't even know about, and they just crossbred with that, but then it's still giant, but it has shorter vocal cords, so pitch is higher.
I don't think they would be closely related enough to breed to a
beaked whale. I just picked a random thing.
And, but beaked whales are fascinating, but it would have to be... So fin and minke whales are a lot smaller than blue whales.
Yeah.
And they're still giants.
Yeah.
So we're talking, you know, 100 foot long and 400,000 pounds,
mm-hmm,
versus a big humpback, which is, you know, 160,000 pounds.
With blue whales are the biggest, right?
By a long shot.
So the next whale, is their calls higher in hertz?
They're very similar. So okay, they can communicate. There's interspecies communication with, mm-hmm, whales.
I'm just curious if the smaller size, you know, the vocal cords are, I would imagine, would be a little shorter.
Decibels change.
Decibels go down. Mm-hmm. But see, I didn't know if maybe hertz would go up then.
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay.
They still talk similar tones. It's all, whales have a pretty okay. standard frequency they talk in.
So that's interesting. I have no idea.
Yeah. So yeah, decibels go down. Most in nature, there are exceptions like our friend the white-billed bird, but the larger the animal, the more capable they are of producing loud sounds.
Okay.
Just because elephants can produce infrasound, and, you know.
They got the bones to do it.
Mm-hmm. So this whale's been heard constantly over the years, suggesting that it is an unusual call, perhaps a lonely life, but it has not had any determinate impact on the survival despite its years of calling with no reply. So the thing has not shut up.
Mm-hmm.
It has, still to this day, is actively calling, swimming in big circles around the Pacific Ocean.
Hmm.
Nobody's ever seen this whale. It's never approached people as far as we can tell. I looked and looked and looked to find anybody claiming to have seen this, and I've not found one substantial report. Because I just, if it's a messed up humpback whale or messed up blue whale, or I believe if it is a whale, it is either a rare species of whale or a damaged whale.
Mm.
And I don't believe it's a damaged whale anymore.
Oh.
Because it passes through, like, for example, orca territory and shipping lanes.
Yeah.
And a damaged whale would have been taken advantage of or ran over by this point.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
In 30-something years swimming through orca territories.
Yeah.
There are specific pods. So, for example, it swims off the coast of California pretty often.
Okay.
There are lanes set up with the orca whale hunters.
Okay.
So where the orca families that specialize in hunting big whales.
Mm-hmm.
They have, it passes through those lanes all the time, and orcas don't bug it.
What if, okay, now I'm just.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's name this scenario. What if there's this one whale, you know, and he gets attacked by a pod of orcas, and one of them, you know, maybe bites its vocal sure. cords and rips it and messes it up, but that whale messes it up, like, in return. Like, mm-hmm. it has the final say, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, like, he should be dead. This is the other orcas talking. He should be dead. We can't mess with him no more. We're going to leave him be. We're going to die. This thing don't die. We ripped his throat out. He's still alive. And then he survived. So they all just avoided him. You know, they do their whale talk, communicate everyone. Leave this guy alone. He's bad news. So he healed up. And then that healing process, his vocal cords are damaged, like you said. And now they hum at a different frequency.
I think it would put a bigger arrow on his back.
Well, no.
Because orcas hold grudges.
Well, see, they know this reputation. They're like, we just don't mess with him.
You remember when that fancy boat ran over yes. an old female orca?
Yes.
So the orcas went up and down the coast, destroying every boat.
Don't ruin my theory. This is good here.
Just saying.
He's a tough whale. That's all. He's a big, tough, rugged whale. He had a bowl of nails for breakfast.
I think he is a big, tough whatever he is.
Right. So they just know not to mess with him, or that'll be the end of all of them.
I just don't know if it's a whale.
Yeah, true. I don't know. Never mind.
What?
No, can't be. Turtles don't call.
Not like this, at least.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, that shark. Remember we talked about that shark that got drugged down? Like,
Yeah. Big turtle ate
it. So, big turtle.
It's a missing
eating
shark.
Whales.
So, according to a big rash of recent internet posts, there seems to be good news for the 52 hertz whale.
Mm.
It now has a friend.
Uh-oh.
So, why they say that there's no, this is highly contrasted. I want to make that very clear.
Okay.
This whale, the whole history of this whale, whether it's a whale or not, we're calling it whale by its colloquial name.
Speculation.
Yeah. It's been highly debated over, highly fought over.
What's been the fight?
What it is.
Okay.
Because
we know something's there. Something's making the noise.
It is a large organic thing. Mm-hmm. That's following a blue whale migrational path we've been tracking for 30 years.
Okay. Fair enough.
We know where it is because it does not shut up. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to find.
Right.
So it was in the northern Pacific recently. And this happened apparently a couple times over the past 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in the southern Pacific, another one calls.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
So until relatively recently, they've been kind of either not reporting this or keeping it kind of quiet.
Laying low with it.
Or just calling it sonar ghosting.
Hmm. Okay.
Which is just, you know, it just basically.
Background noise and sonar, yeah, basically.
It's ghosting the system.
Okay.
Where it's just nothing's really there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially older sonar or simpler sonar can have a lot of ghosting.
Okay.
To where it's just background, like you said, background noise that gets represented as something else.
Yeah.
So depending on what kind of sonar you're picking it up on, it can be a ghost. Not as in a traditional, like, woo, ghost.
Ooh, yeah.
But
you just, run the sonar and it pops back up. Ooh. Like under like a ghost under a sheet with the eye holes cut out. There's a ghost in the radar.
Get out of there.
It's like in Spaceballs when they jam the radar. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And jelly starts running down the... It's strawberry.
So in this, they started getting this all the way back in 2010 when the 52 Hertz whale was singing along the coast of California. And it was same call was heard during the same time in the Southern Pacific. So this kind of throws a wrench into a lot of the theories of what it could be.
Right. Rather than just being one creature doing it.
A damaged animal.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Unless they're both damaged the exact same way, it's not possible.
It would be very, very rare.
Yeah.
So there's been several documented the loneliness whale in the search for 52, where they were searching for the elusive cetacean, being tantalized by potential happening endings of the story of the lonely creature. Initially told the whale was probably dead because they had not heard from him in years. This is a film by Josa Zimmen. Team depicted a unique story of a surprising place off the west coast of Los Angeles, but spoiler, the epilogue reveals the sighting of a potential blue-finned whale hybrid, which is rare and not unheard of, could be the source of the 52 Hertz whale.
Okay.
So this whole documentary, it just came out in 2021, called The Loneliest Whale. They find a blue whale hybrid, which is not unheard of, especially in the Pacific, because the Japanese are still murdering blue whales, even though they're not supposed to. The Japanese government and the whaling fleet is sanctioned. So blue whales are having to breed with their cousins, which are fin whales and minke whales.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no real evidence to support this.
Okay.
We have other fin blue whale hybrids.
Right.
We have the recordings. We know what they sound like. They're not rare enough to be a big mystery.
Okay, fair enough.
They normally hang out with fin whales. They're the smaller of the two because fin whales are more social. Blue whales are solitary animals because of just how much they eat. They can't afford to be near another one of their kind. What?
I'm just getting ideas. What? I'm thinking of new thoughts.
To me, this documentary, while very fascinating, is probably not accurate.
It's kind of creating the story and then...
I believe they had a whale to fit their theory.
Yeah.
And made the story around it.
Correct.
In my opinion.
They built it to confirm their theory, I guess, right? Is what you're saying.
So while, the typical, the animal singing has a lot of the same features as a blue whale typical song, they claim, blue whales, fin whales, and humpback whales, all these whales can hear this guy.
Okay.
And humpback whales are known to associate all whales can, but humpbacks especially are known to associate with other whale species.
Okay.
Going as far as to adopt dolphins and all kinds of things.
Okay.
Way distant cousins.
Hmm.
They don't ever go near this thing.
Okay.
So one of the big theories is they think he's just odd.
Like I said, he's just a weird guy. Like, we're going to stay away from you.
I'm leaning more towards some kind of predator.
Okay.
Because there's... humpbacks aren't really scared of anything. Like orcas, right? Their predators are humpbacks. But humpbacks specifically have evolved with orcas to be the only thing that stands in their way. Well, they'll go out of their way to ruin orca hunts.
Okay.
Whether it's hunting seals, sharks, whatever. Humpback whales will go out of their way to ruin orca hunts because they just hate orcas.
Orcas, yes.
And it's not even all orcas. It's just the whale-eating orcas because you can see orcas and humpbacks playing with the fish-eating subspecies and that kind of stuff.
And they don't bother them.
Yeah, because they can talk to each other.
Right, yes. Here's another theory I just thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what if it is just a blue whale, following patterns? Because it's a lot of behavior is, that even though we've never seen it, it's blue whale behavior. What if it's just one that figured out how to communicate or sing higher?
Mm-hmm.
And it just chooses to do it just to be, because it is weird. It just wants to be different. And,
That's not a good way to have babies.
Correct. But like I said, maybe he got hit in the head when he was born. And, just sometimes it operates differently, has different ways of thinking.
What would hit a baby blue whale in the head and not kill it?
A mom by accident?
I think it would be dead.
I mean, just saying. I'm just saying. What if?
Yeah, I know.
Not evolution, but how... adaptive, covergent, not covergent, even that. Just changes, environmental changes and adaptation. What if this one did just communicate differently because it's searching for a specific one? It's like, I need the one whale. Who's going to figure out to do this with me? And now she found him.
So I'm a big believer that this may even be a species of whale.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very rare. I think they are probably predatory. So
a toothed whale, perhaps?
So baleen whales did have teeth. There's none of them left.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this could even be like a leviathan, like offshoot, which anybody didn't know, that was the sperm whale cousin that had teeth on the top too, that messed up megalodons.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were, you know, fighting for the same resources, whale eaters.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very rare in their environment, naturally.
Right. The top.
So cachalots, you know what that is?
No.
So cachalot now uses a term for a sperm whale. I do not think it's correct. So old whalers called a cachalot whale something different than a spermaceti whale.
Okay.
So a spermaceti whale is now the sperm whale.
Okay. So they were
spermaceti's the stuff in the head.
Yes.
That they thought it was its sperm, but it's the jelly in its head.
A little off.
It looks like it. I mean,
yeah.
They don't know.
Right.
There's no way to tell. You just when you cut it open, that's what pours out. So a cachalot means big round tooth.
Oh, okay.
And it was referred to as cachalot whales being the hyper aggressive. They were very rare, but they're one of the few whales that would turn and sink a ship.
Okay.
Even when whales were being hunted by whaling vessels, they rarely targeted the whaling vessel. I just forgot the name of it, but the famous whaling vessel that sank out in the Pacific was due to some kind of, they blamed a sperm whale. But it could be a cachalot.
Okay.
Where they stabbed it, and it turned around and went right for the big ship and busted right through the hull of it.
Gosh.
And it was the first one they'd ever seen do that.
Yeah.
And they'd heard stories. So cachalots, whether they are just modern-day sperm whales or they're the sperm whale cousin, this bigger, meaner cousin, and we've talked about it with our first mystery cetacean station.
There you go.
Where we talked about the hyphen sperm whale.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a cryptid off the English, or sorry, the Atlantic coast.
Mm-hmm.
This could be the Pacific version of it, where they're just very rare. They may breed in deep, deep Antarctic or deep, deep Arctic, where they're eating large animals like orcas.
Yeah.
They're eating large animals like whales.
The big stuff.
They stay in open ocean. We've even talked about it with I just forgot the name of the creature that was fighting the Roman legions.
Give me a moment. It'll come to me.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come to me. Just keep going.
These random through ancient history, random aggressive whale-sized animals. They're eating other whales. So he crashed. Remember why they stabbed him on the beach? As he was chasing pilot whales.
Right.
In trying to eat them.
Right.
So what if this is the ultimate whale predator? Whether it's Leviathan that still exists or something else, and they're singing, and they're just that rare.
Yeah.
That there's only a handful of them left on the planet. The whaling industry, as we know, they burnt so many whales in the Antarctic ice sheet, it looks like a volcano erupted.
But if they're that rare, I mean, we've heard this thing since, well, I guess 89, yeah. And then it stopped in 2010?
No.
Is that what you said?
No, that's the first time they got a double recording.
Oh, that was the first double. Okay, so it's been going constant since.
Yeah, one has not shut up.
Okay.
Which is probably, if it is a species, it's probably a male.
90. So 30 years later, they've heard another one.
Mm-hmm.
So well, large whales. Where would that one have been then the whole time?
It's probably it was a female. If they have a high calf investment,
yeah,
they don't want to breed again until they're almost finished with their current calf.
Okay.
So, for example, bowhead whales, we don't know how old they live. Our oldest individual we have kind of even an accurate guess on was 283 years old.
Okay.
So 30 years is nothing
mm-hmm.
when you live to be 300.
Right, yeah, I know. Yeah, it makes sense.
And there's plenty of evidence suggesting some of these Antarctic whales may push, to 400 years old.
That's pretty old.
So if they're spending a lot of their time in the Antarctic or Arctic waters, or maybe the males are only the ones traversing the ocean, and the females are staying put.
I mean, it kind of sounds like it, doesn't it?
This behavior points to me as a rare, maybe predator. Just because all the actions of the other whales avoiding it.
And what if he's doing just his rounds, like following the blue whale migration to eat, to go
feed?
That's
what I'm saying. That's why he follows the blue whales.
Yeah.
He's not a blue whale migrating.
Right.
He's hunting these creatures, so he's following their migration patterns.
What if it's too, what if it's something that feeds off, like, you know, I don't know how blue whales eat, you know, like if they produce, I don't know. What if he's following up, basically picking up all the scraps?
They're filter feeders, so there's not really scraps. Okay. So they eat krill. Most 90% of their diet is
blue,
like krill.
Blue whales. Okay.
So there's actually a thing called the krill paradox.
Okay.
Krill are the only, the krill paradox, the krill and blue whale relationship. There, when there are less blue whales eating krill, there are less krill.
Wow.
One of the only inverse relationships with predator and prey. And we figured out why.
Oh, okay.
It's because krill like Antarctic and Arctic waters mostly.
Okay.
So it's very, but krill are algae eaters. These areas are naturally very low in algae production.
Okay.
But blue whales produce so much poop waste that it neutrophies the water and causes major algae blooms that the krill eat. So they're a self-containing life cycle.
What if these things are just eating the whale poop?
It's like a liquid, so I don't know.
They're filter feeders.
I doubt that.
Okay. It's just a theory.
Yeah, no, but why? It's, to me, humpback whales are extremely social with other species of whale. Extremely. Whether it's orcas that aren't whale eaters, dolphins, even sperm whales have been recorded. There's that sperm whale that just adopted recently, a crippled dolphin.
Oh,
okay. It has a broken back. And they bring it food and they keep it protected and everything like that.
Wow.
So whales across the board, and you guys have heard me at home talk about this a million times. I mean, whales are amazing creatures. Across the board, though, are extremely social interspecies communications. So what really bothers me about the 52 hertz whale is that they can hear them. They're used to talking to other whales. So why are they avoiding this guy?
Hmm.
It's not that it's not that he's a bit odd, because they'll go up to things that sound a bit odd.
Yeah.
The humpback whales are extremely curious, especially the juvenile, or not the juvenile, these bachelor males will get bachelor pods. There'll be four or five 60,000-pound, 60-foot-long behemoths with brass knuckles and an urge to just fight something.
Yeah.
And why they don't go up to this thing.
Hmm.
So to me, that points personally, and this is this is now an observation of what I believe, is that this points to a predatory action or a dangerous action, whether it's just flat out aggressive or it's other species of whale, or it's a predator.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason it's singing is probably looking for a breedable female. Hmm. So if this is a male traveling, or maybe even it could be several males for all we know. If this is a male traveling these migration routes, the females may be more local where they stay in home ranges. So he's just waiting for somebody to finally respond to him to go breed, to produce a calf, and then he keeps moving on.
Well, all right. What if this is, here's another theory. What if it's like the king blue whale? Like he is the apex.
Okay, there you go.
Alpha blue whale. You know how wolves, you know, where the leader will walk?
Yeah, yeah. They'll walk in the very back.
Very back. So what if he is following the bigger pods, you know, whatever. He's just the alpha blue whale of all the ocean. He's the king blue whale. And he kind of just follows behind everybody. He scoops up, eats everything that's left behind. But he's constantly singing and putting out his frequency just to let everyone know, this is me. I'm the only one that does this. It's just me. And so they all kind of avoid him because they know if they step in, you know, king's path, he'll just... Wham! Yeah, lay him
really
in line.
Just don't want to yes and me today. And then, it's bothering me.
Well, I mean, I think I don't know. You're just making me think of a lot of different ideas.
This is my predator.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't. But you're making me think of other ideas because I just like the idea that it is just a whale that's just weird, basically.
I think it's just a big, mean,
which could be
a Leviathan or something.
It could be. But what if this alpha one, you know, let's just say it is an alpha one that just resonates at a different frequency because only one's allowed to. And then by the time but he has only one female that he will breed with. It's just the one. So now she's done raising her calf. Calf's out. He's the prince now, whale, whatever. And now she's ready again. She's calling him home.
I do believe, and I may be mistaken, but I do believe that it has been recorded maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
In the Atlantic as well.
Hmm. Maybe there's one for each ocean.
I just think whatever they are just very rare.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I don't know either. I'm just, you're making me think of ideas that I'm hoping you're not going to mention. So it's, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm just thinking of different, a lot of thoughts are being brought up. Because we, at the end of the day, we don't know.
I have no idea.
We don't know.
Nobody knows.
Right.
There's a documentary where they said they know, they don't really know.
You just reminded me of something I saw just last night. Remember how we've even talked about how the slime mold will complete the maze?
Sure.
So I found out basically the way that slime mold completed the maze, it would have completed it the same way if you were to fill the maze basically with water. Mm-hmm. It just kind of followed that same path. At the end of the day, that slime mold was going to find the food at the end of the maze. It was going to complete it no matter what. But the way the scientists kind of produced the paper talking about it, they worded it in a way in which they gave the slime mold maybe an intelligence it didn't actually have, where they said, you know, it's smart enough to figure the maze out just for food.
I don't think smart is the right word.
Yeah, yeah.
I think systematic trial and error.
Yeah.
It's very good. So what it's very good at efficiency.
Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm saying is it would have been the same efficiency if they were to just fill it with water. Yeah. It would have took the same...
It would have found the easiest path to the food.
Correct.
Yes.
Yep.
The fastest, easiest route to the food.
So that basically they were posing the question then, is it actually intelligence or is it just the way it naturally works?
It's more of, in my opinion, a computer intelligence.
Just the way it naturally is programmed.
Yes. Yeah. It just is going to do it. But it's programmed to sustain off of the bare minimum and expend
And once it found the path, it just takes that path. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which makes sense. But in order to find it, basically, yeah, it just filled every single cavity till it...
Slime mold's not a fungus.
Right. It's different, yes.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing. Mm. Where fungal intelligence is a little more different because we have proof that they can count and communicate. Right.
I guess the only reason I brought it up because I was just...
Slime molds are a bunch of little individual things that are all mushed together.
Gotcha. Almost like a siphonophore.
A little more extreme than a siphonophore.
Okay.
As far as the mushing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I just thought it was interesting because it's just the way...
with statistics.
Science can just... I don't know. Because I was under the impression it was intelligent until I
It's not intelligence as... Yeah. Like a dog figuring out a maze is intelligent.
Because it has to...
It's remembering things. It's remembering paths. It's figuring... It's using its nose. This is more like a yes-no.
Right.
Like a word tree.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing and remarkable, but it's not... It is not the type of intelligence that you would associate with a sentient being.
Correct.
So that's when we did our intelligence versus sentientship episode. That's kind of more that, I guess.
Yeah.
So I guess you could call it a basal intelligence to where it's like a decision tree.
Yeah.
Yes, no, left, right, you know, up, down kind of deal.
I think it's just basal natural efficiency.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the simpler forms of life are the most efficient.
Yes.
All right. We're going to take our ad break. But before that, what would you do if you wanted to take a kid fishing? How would you do that?
I would first go to the Future Anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio, and I would visit them, and I would see what all the people have donated to them. They have all sorts of... they provide fishing equipment and all sorts of gear for kids to go outside and go fishing. They're a great organization, Future Anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio. We actually helped provide the ice safety class last winter for them.
Yep, do it every year.
Yep. And it's when, and now I guess I'm kind of part of that now, ain't I? I become part of it. It was fun. We did the ice pit crawl.
It's great.
But there's a lot of, and with ice safety in general for people ice fishing, I'm sure there's not a lot of you out there, but the ones that do or the ones that don't or that are interested, there's a lot of safety that goes involved. And as long as you follow the safety procedures, you're going to be absolutely fine.
It is. So I will say this. I mean, here's a little PSA, I guess. Unfortunately, my grandpa that ice fished died when I was very young. And
ice fishing?
Huh? No.
Oh, phew.
No. So my dad took us. He took us a lot, but we didn't know anything.
Right.
My dad will tell you we didn't know anything about ice fishing.
Right.
So it is extremely scary. People die ice fishing every year. And there's no such thing as safe ice. But there's a way to tell safer ice versus non-safe ice.
There's very simple safety procedures to take.
I love ice fishing. It's my favorite. It's my favorite kind of fishing.
It's growing on me.
But I'm fine not to go. If I don't like the ice, I won't go. We'll go do something else.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it because, and then I also teach self-rescue because you don't have much time to get out before you start having bodily problems.
Correct.
It's a good resource for kids and families. There's a lot of adults this year that came to Ice Safety, and that made me very happy because they can teach it to somebody else then.
Right.
Or at least be more confident with a spud bar and actually understanding what you're reading like and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Because it's a sport that I dearly love. It is as dangerous or as safe as you let it be.
That's a fair assessment.
It is as dangerous or safe as you let it be. All right, let's take the ad and we'll be back with more whale talk.
All righty.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Well, things are looking good for the Jamboree this year so far.
True, but I wonder if there's anything else that can make this event even more awesomer.
Well, there's really only one person that could be the judge of that.
Hey, that's a great idea. Let's give him a call.
Two Whoops and Tree Knocks. Sasquatch is there.
Hey guys, what's up?
Well, we're going over the schedule for the Jamboree, but we wanted to see what you think.
All right, well, let me take a look here real fast. Ugh. Okay, so the VIP tickets.
Isn't Brian making a new one of these too?
And that gets you into the Friday night dinner and meet and
tomorrow night after the party out at the bowling alley.
Monster costume.
Oh, the only thing. Yeah.
Well, you want to come back and do the episodes?
A free family room with activities for the kids. Well, that's outstanding. A big calling contest.
We have 3 weeks worth recorded.
Right. Yeah. We just got to post them.
Oh, good. And you'll have the.
And then we'll be back on just being a week ahead.
Last year, I actually found a squatch to post. Well, let's see who the speakers are this year.
You got something tomorrow morning?
Connor and Alexis Biden.
We are going.
Randy Bauer, Ron Murphy, outstanding.
Water Dog Days.
Oh, good. Oh, you guys will be speaking. Which Jay clone is going to be there? That's my question. And Tony Merkel as well. Oh, good. You're going
to
have Jake Dressel.
That's a place to buy a puppy if you want to buy a puppy.
Last year. And Brian Wolf. Why does that name sound familiar? Well, I have to tell you, gentlemen, having gone to a number of these events, this looks like it's going to be one of the best ones of the year.
My life can't get any harder.
Say, will Tiny Toes be there?
Yeah, wait till your dog's filling up this room and you're 7 inches.
Yeah, the little guy that was there last year.
That's why I'm getting a puppy.
You mean,
I'm just saying, your life can get harder because I've seen it.
As well.
Kevin was awful.
I know.
Well, this all sounds fantastic, guys.
It was a disaster.
I look forward to seeing you there.
It was very good until it wasn't.
Bye.
All right, we're back.
Squatch Dust. Hey, guys, come visit us at the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. It's going to be a blast.
They just heard an ad.
Come on.
All right. Blue whales have gone eerily quiet in the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, recently?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Like, for how long?
Long. No, so, sorry.
How long?
Long.
Yeah.
No, so this as another thing that has been in the news a lot, and it has kind of been misrepresented, so I want to talk about it.
Okay.
Because I do think blue whales are a good indicator species to be the largest thing ever to exist. You know, when they start, if they're scared of something, we should all be scared of it.
They could be a measuring stick for some things.
So I really want that inflatable humpback whale, the full-size one for the museum, because it just... That's a small, like, it's a huge thing.
Yeah.
But that's a small whale.
Is it, like, the one you can walk inside of?
No, it's just, like, it's 60 foot long, but it's a life-size, there's a yard inflatable.
Yeah.
So, blue whales, a big one is, I think our biggest one we ever have accurately recorded was 110 feet and 500,000 pounds.
It's pretty big.
500,000 pounds.
Gosh.
So, that's 2 semi-trucks end-to-end.
Man. Yeah, that's big. That's big.
That's just the length. And it weighs several times more.
Yeah, that's a lot of weight. Man, that's so big. It's hard to wrap my mind around
it. That's why people don't. So blue whales, the largest animal on Earth, aren't singing nearly as much anymore. And most scientists are getting very concerned over this. So they've been analyzing this over the last 6 years of acoustic data collected on the ocean's floor. And they found blue whale vocalizations have dramatically decreased over the last 6 years.
Okay.
And the monitor, a hydrophone sitting on the seafloor off the coast of California, collected sounds from various creatures, including many species of whale. By coincidence, the recordings began during a marine heat wave that is unprecedented in modern times. So why you don't find a lot of big whales near the equator is because the ocean's really hot.
Okay.
And they just don't do well with it. They're more geared. So mammals lose heat in the ocean very quickly, but there is a strip around the planet. So a lot of whales don't even cross the equator. Like there's the southern humpbacks and the northern humpbacks.
Too hot.
It's just too hot. Okay. You'll die. There are exceptions to this, like riding the jet stream through, because you can basically speed through it really quick, essentially, you know, relatively quick.
Well, probably in the jet stream, the temperature is probably different as well.
Yeah, it's holding on either cold water or hot water.
Right.
According to the study, the heat wave produced that has reduced the amount of krill available for blue whales to consume. So this giant blob, they're calling it the blob, in the Atlantic, or sorry, the Pacific Ocean,
okay,
of hot water,
mm-hmm,
where it's not supposed to be, it's killed off billions of pounds of krill.
Oh, that's not good.
As a result, the krill disappearing, so too did the blue whale songs. So over the course of the acoustic collection, which is about 6 years, blue whale songs have decreased by approximately 40%.
Okay. Well, you said, though, when it started, it was during that heat, the water was hotter at that point?
That was the start of the heat.
Okay.
The start of the development of this big hot bobble.
So, is it possible that, I don't know, I'm just wondering if their songs and their things come like in ebbs and flows, you know?
Yeah, so you're not wrong. So basically, a bunch of the biologists, so the major biologist for the Oceanographic Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute, which is the one where I'm always watching the videos of the deep sea rovers, it's those guys.
Okay.
So John Rye said, basically, it's like trying to sing while you're starving.
Okay.
It's just not worth it.
Okay.
So blue whales sing to talk. They're one of the few animals that sing just for fun.
Okay.
For communication, for reproductive things. So they're just spending all their time trying to spend all their time finding food.
Interesting.
They're not wasting the calories on singing.
Okay.
So the marine heat wave actually started in 2013. But it's been what's described as a stubborn, dense pool of extremely hot water that has been dubbed the blob, that moved from the Bering Sea and the Gulf of Alaska down to the North American coastline, causing an ecological collapse zone.
How did it start up there?
Because that's where all the hot water is being dumped by the jet stream in the Pacific.
Okay.
So it's nutrient upwells. So the cold of that climate normally fights that bubble off and keeps it manageable.
Mm-hmm.
So when it gets pushed, because water of different temperatures does not like to mix.
Right, exactly.
So when it got pushed down, and water likes to, it does not like to change temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Water does not like to change temperature. Every degree or up and down, it's a magnitude different of energy to change water's temperature. The marine heat wave, like I said, beginning in 2013, when it moved down from there, in some places, the ocean temperatures are more than 4.5 degrees Fahrenheit above their average due to this heat, which does not sound like a lot, but it is. As far as marine habitats go for these biological production zones, it is. It's a lot of heat. The blob grew to cover more than 500 miles, and it is 300 feet deep.
Ooh, that's a nice big pool. How warm is this water again?
I don't have it right in front of me. I think I have it written later.
Like, it's not like a...
It's not boiling.
Right, but it's not like a... Like
it's hot for the water around it.
Okay, fair enough.
Because the Californian coast is cold. That's why a lot of people don't swim in the California Ocean. But that's why it's perfect for marine megafauna. It's very southern, and it's very cold.
Okay.
So that's why blue whales give birth in like the Baja and stuff like that. So there's just a lot of food there, and it's relatively safe.
Okay.
But now, there's no food.
That's not good.
So like I said, 2016, it approximately grew to 2,000 miles of the Pacific Ocean. So it went from 500 miles wide to 2,000 miles wide.
So it's exponentially growing.
The increase in temperature allowed toxic algae blooms that killed off major swarms of krill, which are tiny shrimp-like marine life. Krill are the basis. I used to know the number. It's like 40 or 50% of all visible life is supported by krill.
Really? That's
one of Earth's tiniest organisms.
That's insane to even think about.
Because they're, I think, still the biologically the heaviest organism, a visible organism on the planet.
Over ants?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are swarms of krill where the ocean looks red for hundreds and hundreds of miles.
That'd be cool.
Because they're like tinier than ants.
Yeah. And whales eat them. That's nuts.
But yeah, so these toxic algae blooms, which are killing everything off. So we haven't had a really hot, or we've had some really hot years of marine heat waves. It's more than just the temperature, Kelly Bennett Bird says, which also works for the Monterey Bay Aquarium. The whole system is changing. We don't get the krill swarms anymore. So the animals that rely on the krill swarms are kind of out of luck.
Hmm.
The blue whale are among these animals that who are out of luck. They feed on these densely packed krill. Their huge mouths are specially developed to sift through thousands of gallons of water all at once to get these krill.
Hmm.
So the enormous, you know, sucking an enormous amount of the tiny creatures. So krill make up about 60% of the blue whale's diet.
Wow. I mean, I'm kind of shocked. I thought it would be more.
It's normally the other 40% is the little fish that are eating the krill that happen to be in front of it.
Hmm.
They're not great at aiming.
Right. You know, but I still thought it would be higher.
I think it's 2 African elephants can fit on their tongue.
Gosh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Like I said, people don't get how big these animals are.
No. Well, that had to have been what ate Jonah, right?
I mean, some kind of whale.
They could fit.
I mean, there's air in their mouth.
He could set up a little apartment in there.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, he had to pay rent. I think that was, they had to amend that out, I think, in the King James version. But there was part, he had his note, his ledger for his rent.
Mm-hmm.
That whale ran a tough ship.
But yeah, so that's all I have for this one, because I just seen it and everybody was talking about it. So I've seen everything saying that it's kaiju waking up and it's scaring them to, you know, anything.
Well, I know what that the warm blob is now. It finally just clicked and makes sense. It's a secret underground government nuclear powered base that's crawling all across the floor of the ocean, like doing a big circle patterns and just doing evil things. And as it grows and gets bigger, it's leaving this. The water is the thermonuclear reactor that they keep building bigger and bigger. So it's getting so now the warm plume.
In the Pacific Ocean, there is a 2.5 mile wide object that has been crawling along the bottom of the Pacific Ocean floor. It's 3,000 feet below the surface.
Are you joking?
In the middle of this blob.
Nah.
I'm not joking.
Seriously?
Yes.
I can't tell.
I'm not joking.
Okay.
I hate you.
I can't tell if you're making that up.
The object, which has observed, he's saying, look, man-made rather than a natural object, is estimated to be at 2.5 miles in diameter, and is surrounded by, looks like, massive tank tracks. Other observations suggest the tracks are just trenches, rather. No, seriously, I have a giant object that's on the bottom of the Pacific Ocean in the middle of this heat wave that has dozens of miles of trackway.
And you guys think that those UFOs that are flying into the ocean are just aliens from outer space? No, they're not. That's U.S. government technology or maybe
animals. But most baffling is the circular object, which appears to have left a 41-mile-long trackway in its wake as it's just turtled across the floor of the northern Pacific Ocean off the Californian coast in the center of this blob.
Hmm. Hmm.
So if you zoom in, you can see like what looks like tank treads or something like that. Marks.
Right. Yeah.
Inside the valleys it's creating.
What do you think they're doing? They're like, you think they're just scraping minerals?
Don't think this is a thing, like a craft.
Okay.
I think this is an animal.
Hmm.
I think this is one of our giant, like our Zaratans.
The bloop?
Yeah, the bloop.
Yeah.
Julia, which, you know, all recorded down here. I think this is one of them. And I think it's becoming extremely more agitated and active because it's trapped in this hot water bubble.
Oh, you don't think it's creating the hot water?
No, I was just kind of picking on you about that.
Oh.
No, I think it's because it's recently have started moving a lot more where they can actually track it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a megafauna animal
mm.
that is either filter feeding or whatever. And the same reason the blue whales left and aren't singing, it's getting up and starting to walk away.
Okay.
But it's massive and it's on the bottom of the ocean. So it's kind of going around. Like you watch this track thing. It goes around mountains and stuff like that.
Do you think this could be the 52 hertz, whatever?
It could be. I don't believe so because the 52 hertz whale is very movable.
Okay.
It moves very quickly and, you know.
What if it's like a ventriloquist and it throws the sound?
That could be. But I do think this is just another megafaunal animal.
Actually, that's how it hunts.
What, throwing its voice?
It throws its voice. The whales go that way, and it feeds, and they go the opposite way. It comes right in the mouth.
I'll try to remember to put, because the scientific, quote-unquote, explanations of this thing are kind of ridiculous.
You don't say.
Which I'm all for normal scientific explanations. But so it even backtracked at one point.
Okay.
In its trail. Because it literally looks like a giant insect trail around these mountains and stuff like that. Until you realize the one mountain it's around is a 500-mile long rock.
Mm-hmm.
Or not, sorry, 50-mile wide rock that it's walking around.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks to me like a giant, like I kid you not, like a giant horseshoe crab or a trilobite.
Okay.
That kind of animal. And the trackways look like these fossilized trilobite trackways we have.
I'm still sticking with the, it's human technology, secret base, nuclear powered.
But so they're like, it's just like water currents are causing erosion to make it look like it has a trackway. And then literally it has a backtracked path.
Aha. Uh-huh. Explain like, that, water erosion.
It just makes no sense to me, I guess. But what do I, I'm not a hydrologist. So that was, you just, I can't believe you got that.
Like, that's kind of weird, right?
Right in the middle, but it's right in the middle of this. So I really do think, personally, this could be one of our giant living island animals, like the bloop or any of those guys, that has, because it's only started moving recently. I do think it's probably this this ecological heat wave, whether it's not being actually affected by the heat being that deep.
Yeah.
But the food sources
are
that it feeds upon are being affected.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just getting up and starting its process of moving to a new location. Or it may only happen every couple hundred years.
That could be, or, you know, all of our government funding, you know, we, you see like, oh, why aren't my roads fixed? Why isn't anything around me getting better?
I feel like if it was a...
Because we're dumping all this money into these secret projects that we don't know nothing about, and this is one of them.
So I have one more thing for you.
Okay.
So why is the bloop running away? Why are the whales going silent? Why is the 52 hertz whale finally getting a response?
Okay.
Because the Pacific Ocean is heating up.
The Ring of Fire is getting really activated.
Why is the Pacific Ocean heating up? Because the Ring of Fire in the Pacific Ocean has started to stir more than it's ever in recorded history.
And has nothing to do with Johnny Cash's song.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. That sucked because that's a long way down.
I was a whale, and I don't know.
I was a whale, and the flames got and higher.
My hertz went a higher.
So scientists warn of massive eruption threats as Mount Rainier and the Pacific volcano islands stir.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had tons and tons of earthquakes this year on the Pacific with everything with tsunamis.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the whole Seal Island disappeared in Russia because of a tsunami. So why? You know, why earthquakes, tectonic activity? Or at least, you know, that's what the theory is, what blah, blah, blah. But volcanoes are becoming increasingly more active. Yellowstone is starting to actually produce more hydrothermal vents, like being pushed out, which just means pressure is building.
Mm-hmm.
So since this is, I mean, this is not a new thing, but this is the largest earthquake swarm we've had since 2009. So we're actually here in Ohio and on the East Coast getting earthquakes. Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
New York and them are getting earthquakes.
Mm-mm.
So the thought is, so this tectonic, it's 25,000 mile stretch of tectonic plate boundaries. That's boundaries.
Right.
You know, is becoming extremely active. Several volcanists, which are volcanic scientists.
That's a cool title.
Are warning people that the Ring of Fire is becoming tectonically active in a bad way. This is increasing frequency of earthquakes and explosive eruptions underwater.
Mm.
So this could be another reason why these whales are going quiet, why this heat is being produced in the ocean, and even why the bloop's starting to run away.
Mm-hmm. Is it because an ELE is coming? An ELE?
What is that?
Extinction level event.
I mean, it could be. I don't know if it's going to be that big.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is a lot. So with eruptions that may not immediately threaten nearby communities, they could have significant long-term effects on local populations, ecosystems, and infrastructure.
Mm.
So the Pacific Ring of Fire, a global hotspot for volcanic activity, you know, South America, Alaska, Japan, New Zealand, both earthquakes and volcanic eruptions have been on the increase over several years. And what, you know, we're talking about, you know, volcanic stuff. It's hard to say what is quick. You know, what means when it's going to happen soon.
Right, yeah.
You know, we're talking about Earth things. It soon can be this year or...
30 years.
Yeah.
It's still soon.
But the United States has seen an alarming increase in seismic activity. Nobody is talking about it. You know how many earthquakes have been recorded in just 2 days in early July of 2025?
Mm-mm.
In the U.S.
Okay.
How many earthquakes do you think were in the first 2 days?
500.
334.
Okay. I shot super high.
No, I mean, that's not that off.
That's not that off, yeah.
Many of these quakes are below 1.7 magnitude, but their proximity to volcanoes and their frequency should be rising concerns to people. It just means something is getting mad.
What if this coincides with, the rich people building underground bunkers?
I think it's all of it. I think it's,
some natural disaster is building, like Mount St. Helens when it was swelling. They knew it was going to blow. So if it's the same kind of thing, they know something's about to pop off.
Sure.
Like just natural earth occurrence.
Yeah. I mean, volcanic eruptions are among Earth's most destructive catalysts.
The Toba supervolcano.
Well, yeah. What did we talk about with the Permian? Was it the Permian mass extinction or was it the Triassic mass extinction?
I can never keep them together.
One of them threw up so much land mass, it was basically a continent. A continent. It threw up a continent's worth of material.
And just think about all like the stories from ancient past. Like
Pompeii was not that big.
Well, what if though all those lands were
the
are covered?
Land?
They're just gone now. They're covered up or they're under our feet, buried 20, 30 feet from tens of thousands of years ago.
Yeah, so that's a big thing with like carbon dating, why it's not accurate is volcanic eruptions.
Earthquakes, landslides, mudslides, floods.
Weather.
Everything.
But volcanic eruptions are a huge, huge one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're an overturner, like you just said. Like, mm-hmm. They could
spit up millions of year old stuff.
Didn't they think until like the late 1800s, Pompeii was just like a fake city that they made up?
I think something like that, yeah.
And then they started finding bodies.
Yeah. Which I didn't know all those bodies they found
are hollows.
Yeah, they're just, they filled them with plaster Paris. Yeah. They filled the cavities. I didn't know that. I thought they were turned to stone.
Nope. They were covered in extremely hot volcanic ash, and I think they evaporated.
Probably, or dissolved or something. But I'm sure that void filled with something, but...
That's why it was empty.
It was complete. I just thought maybe like dust, like stuff that like dissolved or...
You were in it, and then you... die. Like then you just turn to nothing. So there's maybe a little dust or whatever in the bottom of it, but it's completely sealed off is why it was like that.
Gotcha.
So like nuts. That's how quote unquote a fossil is made, right? Is that cavity then gets filled in with a mineral.
Mm-hmm.
So with just, there's just not been enough time in between those two steps.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, so I really have connected in my head these four things, that the 52 Hertz whale, there's finally has a buddy. There's two of them. They're humpback whale, they're blue whale predators. The blue whales stop singing because the krill are dying off. The krill are dying off because this giant heat blob. There's this giant 2.5 mile long round object that many, many oceanographers say is not a natural rock formation. It's too round. It's too perfect for that. But it's moving around. So far there's 41 miles we've tracked it. But it's gone hundreds of miles from its original position.
Yeah.
I think it's a big animal. And I think they're all trying to get away from this super heat wave and this volcanic activity that's sitting in the middle of it.
I think it's a good theory.
So hopefully there's been a semblance of an episode.
I'm going to go with it. Well, that's your theory. My theory is it's just normal whales that had something's wrong with them, or maybe that alpha whale theory.
Alpha whale.
But they're all getting stirred up and disturbed by this underground facility that humans have built, and it's in secret, and it's who knows what they're doing it or using it for down there. When you see UFOs flying under the ocean, this is where do you think they're going? They got underground, they got places to go, facilities to go to.
Places to go and pizza to try.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where they're trying the pizza. It's down there in the, under the ocean. It's horrible. I mean, it could be. Could be. That's my theory, though. That's what's causing all the disturbances in the ocean. That's what's killing all the krill. That's what's making all the heat.
It is a U.S. government machine.
Yeah.
That's powered by krill.
It probably is powered by krill. No, it's probably krill powered oil by the aeroplankton that they suck from the atmosphere, inject it into the ocean machines to power it to kill the krill.
I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been Jay... I don't even...
56.
No, that was a different one.
Oh.
I think.
Yeah. Did we not introduce ourselves?
We might not have this episode.
Ooh. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Don't remember. Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crib is the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jade Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.